No way out of town. No one to come help.
Shut up.
Ignore him, Jake.
You can feel it. That cold ain't the weather. That's death approaching. Who do you think they're gonna take first? The girl thinks a gun will help her. The kid, sheriff's kid, the old gal.
Shut up!
Welcome back to the Hatton Through Horrors podcast. We review horror movies and horror franchises. I'm Mark.
I'm Tawan.
I'm Maria.
And today we're reviewing 30 Days of Night, released in 2007. Directed by David Slade. Screenplay by Steve Niles, Stuart Beadle, and Brian Nelson. Maria, can you give the people the plot summary?
Yes. In the far northern hemisphere, the small town of Barrow, Alaska, experiences a solid month of darkness every year. Though most of the residents head south for the winter, some townspeople remain behind. However, those that stay regret their decision when one year hungry vampires descend on Barrow to feed. Sheriff Evan, his wife, and a dwindling band of survivors must try to last until dawn breaks over Barrow's month-long twilight.
I watched this movie... Okay. So, 30 Days of Night. You know, I watched this movie for the first time about 2 weeks ago, and I was surprised because Josh Hartnett's in it, and I'm a huge Josh Hartnett and horror movie fan. And this is the third movie that we're reviewing on the podcast that has Josh Hartnett in it. You know, he was in H2O, and he was in The Faculty, so I'm like I'm a Hartnett fan. But this movie was weird, and some parts didn't make sense. Like, were they vampires? Were they just it was kind of confusing at parts. And the main part was that one guy who was at the diner who was acting weird, the quote unquote stranger. Like, was he just like the messenger? Was he just coming to town to give the all clear that, you know, the darkness is here, you guys can fucking come? Was he just like the bad omen? Like, what was his point? And then, go ahead.
I don't think he was a messenger, but this seemed like he was working with the vampires or whatever. Because I will say, I was telling Maria before we recorded that this was based off a graphic novel, and I did read it when it came out, like, back then, but I don't remember much from it, so I don't even remember if that specific character was in the movie, in the novel. But I feel like he was working with them. Now, in what capacity, we don't know, because we don't even find out, because we get to the point where, you know, he's talking to, like, the leader, and, the leader tells him that he was, like, helping them out, and it looks like he was looking to be turned into one, but we don't know what capacity.
I'm assuming he's, like, the guy that they send. Explained.
At all.
In, like, beforehand, you know, because he obviously he's human. I'm pretty sure he's human. And
he was.
I think he, like, scopes out the places for them before, you know, they get there.
That's what I was thinking.
Because there's, like, a scene where, where Evan was like, oh, it's going to be dark for 30 days, and he smiles. So I'm assuming he's the one who kind of, you know, figures out where, you know, where to go and what towns are good. I think he was kind of doing it in order to get turned. Because he also talks about it. He was like, something about, like, the honored, or making me one of the honored ones or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. He was just, I guess, their, like, slave? I don't know. I'm not slave, but I guess he was, like, their, like...
A worshiper, a follower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, there are a lot of plot holes, and, like, I know I'm jumping ahead to talk about characters, but, like, I'm sorry, like, okay, the two of you, I'm telling you right now, if we're in a situation like this, or any situation where zombies are trying to kill us, or those fucking aliens from from what's that movie with the when they couldn't make sounds with the man from The Office with his British wife? Oh,
Quiet Place.
Yes, yes. If we're in any situation like that, and I am like that old man, and I am having some delirium, and I'm making sounds, and I'm causing issues, y'all have my permission to put me down. Because ain't no way. He's from the, like, I get it. He has dementia. He has Alzheimer's. I feel so bad. But, sir, your father has to go. He's putting all of us in danger.
No, like, I was actually, when I was watching it, I swear I was thinking to myself, I was like, if this was one of my parents, I'm sorry, like, I would have to, because I'm like, or I would tell someone to do it, just so I wouldn't have to be the one to do it.
Somebody got to do it, like.
Because I just couldn't, I could, like, I don't want to die, like, the fuck?
Like, it's...
It's a tough decision, but, like, I'm not trying to die.
Like, crazy. Crazy, 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 crazy. Like, you have permission to put me down. Maria, take me out if you need to. You have my permission. Like, don't hesitate. Like, just do it.
I'm sorry, but because actually, like, the people who went south and never went south, remember? They, did they not? No, like, they didn't they? Because they got them. They got to, like, the plane before it was able to leave, didn't they? Or was it gone?
Well, I don't think they actually, I don't know if that was mentioned. If it was, I may not have caught it. Now, I don't, because they didn't even show, like, why, I'm assuming, like, her plane left or something earlier, and she couldn't get to it. Because, like, they didn't, when she got to the airport, once she was at Stella, once she was actually able to get there, she was like, damn, I guess I'm stuck now. I thought, like, something happened at the airport, but they didn't show it, so.
I thought she missed her flight.
That's what I thought. I thought she just missed it. But I'm assuming the people who were leaving, maybe they did get to leave because there was no plane there, so somebody did have to leave. But we do know that they messed up the helicopter that they had in town. Oh. Because that was set up a little earlier.
Well, but also, go ahead, Maria.
Well, I mean, okay, well, I was just gonna say, like, if we're in a town and there's some apocalyptic type of shit like that happening, I guess it's not really apocalyptic. Okay, people are dying and they're getting brutally murdered, I'm going to kill myself. Like, no. I'm not, you know, I'm going to die in my own way, in my own hands, not by some weird, just, like people were being, like, oh, God. Like, that first victim that was just being dragged under the house, hell no, that's not going to be me.
I'm sorry, that was scared the fuck out of me. Like, I... When I first saw this movie, that scene actually scared the fuck out of me, because, like, obviously we knew what it was, but, like, just not knowing what that was, and, like, you're getting dragged around and shit, and you can't fight back.
Insane. And, well, since we're already talking about, like, scenes and stuff, I just want to point out, why did they wait until the 30th day or the 29th day to go to that fucking, like, meal place, the fucking factory place? Like, why weren't we bunkered down in this place from the start? You can be in there. It's enclosed. There was you know where the one exit or entrance is at. You could have just been in there, had it guarded. It's warm in there. There's lights. Like, you would have been fine.
Yeah, I do agree.
I think they said because it was further from where they were initially.
Yeah, it was more on the outskirts, I think, and they said.
And I think the reason why they moved when they did was because it was during a time where there was a blizzard. So then, like, the vampire people weren't able to see them, I guess. Because that's when they moved, or that's when I noticed that they moved, when there was, like, a big blizzard happening. And then when that ended, one of the characters said something ended, and then everything was just still again.
The whiteout ended.
Yeah.
So, I think
I don't know, I just feel like, there were a bunch of scenes, and then the scene where they find his partner and that he killed his wife and kids, like, so much. Like, I don't know. What about you? Were there any scenes that were confusing or interesting or anything to you guys?
I think one for me was when they did have to kill, like, the little girl zombie. Because none of them could, like, pick out whose child that was, I just assumed that it was, you know, one of the kids of the, like, the vampires. So I thought, like, that was gonna, like, I thought they were about to pick off a lot of them at that point, because I thought they probably were, like, the vampires were gonna hear that, and they were gonna, like, pick them off. Which, speaking of, like, another, like, I know, Mark, you mentioned, like, in regards to, like, plot holes or some inconveniences, it was definitely convenient that no of the vampires heard any of that, because they were loud as shit. That looked like the little vampire zombie, like, girl, she was screeching loud as hell, and they were pretty much able to hear if any of them were screeching, especially in that small town. So the fact that none of them heard that was crazy. Now, I do think the whiteout was still going on then, so I don't know if maybe that did something in any way, but that scene was, I thought that scene was like a pretty good one. Another one, I think the ending, like the ending fight with Josh Hartnett's character and, like, the main zombie, like, the fight itself wasn't that good, but I will say, like, the killing blow he got on, like, the main zombie was that was pretty cool.
Maria.
Okay, yeah, I agree with what Tawan was saying earlier about the plot holes and how, like, yeah, how it's like, I guess they were only able to hear them when it was convenient, I guess. And then on top of that, because I think, like, when What's-His-Face Evan got turned, he was like, I can smell your blood. And it's like, okay, so then do the other vampires not smell their blood? Like, they were, like, so close to them multiple times, and it's like, do you not smell that? That's just, I don't know. I thought it was kind of stupid for them to do that, but I did like the scene where they killed the little girl. Not that I like, you know, scenes of children dying, but it was scary of, like, you know, you see a little girl and she's eating someone and you're just, like, freaked out. And then she talks to you.
I'm going to let you finish and then I'm going to come back.
No, but because she talked to them. And it's like, okay, so then are they conscious then? Are they understanding what they're doing? Which I did. Okay, well, I'll talk about this later, but I did not like that fight scene. That fight scene was so stupid. And, like,
it was. I just like the killing blow. It was, though.
But, like, I do agree that the final blow was really good. But that was it. It was just so dumb. Like, they were not, I don't know what the fuck kind of movie this was, but it was, I don't know, it was stupid. I liked this scene. What other scenes were there? Oh my god, with Bo, and when he was trying to leave too, and Stella was like, "We need you here." And he looked around and he was like, "Okay, I'll stay." I don't know. That scene was, it was out of the whole movie, that was the most impactful scene. You know, because he was like a loner, really. But, like, I guess it made him feel like part of the town. Like, they really did need him, and he was like, "Okay, you're right." And then he came and he saved them. He got a lot. He saved them like twice. Like, Bo is a real hero of the movie. Like, I'm just saying. I guess Evan too, but that's besides the point. I guess that's it, actually.
Well, for me, it goes to scenes and character beats and things that I'm pretty sure the writers wanted us to feel, but like the whole brotherly love story side plot, and then Eben and old girl, you know, star-crossed lovers, will they, won't they thing, it wasn't really hidden for me. Like, I didn't give a fuck about Eben and his brother. I didn't care about Eben and old girl. Like, I was really just like, I don't know. They're playing all these emotional beats, but I was like, I want to see the other survivors. Like, yeah, I like Eben and his brother and that girl, because I forgot her name. But, like, I also want to see Bo, and I want to see the guy who lost his arm. Like, I want to see everyone. But, like, it just, it wasn't, I don't know. Though they kept giving us scenes of those three, either together or separate or in a duo, and it just wasn't, it wasn't giving the emotional beats they wanted to give. For me, at least. And then that scene with that girl in pink, when the vampires had her in the circle, mm-hmm. and they were each just like hitting her and like scratching her, and oh my god, that was an intense scene. That was. And then Evan's like right there watching the whole thing. I was like, damn. But like,
yeah, and oh no, continue.
No, but, like, was she, like, did they have her, like, running through the streets screaming for help so other people could come out but they could attack?
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. Okay. Yeah, that's what it seemed like, because when she, when nobody came out and she, walked up to the one, like, vampire, and then the leader came out, she was like, I tried, like, they're not, no one's, like, I tried, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sure she was. They were using her as bait. Honestly, I didn't. That scene wasn't as intense for me. It was kind of, I don't know. It was kind of stupid. I don't know, because they were just like, because at first, I guess they were just scratching her, and I mean, I would, you know, if I myself was in that scene and they were doing that to me, I would be scared shitless. But watching it, I don't know. It was just a little like these people have like claws and fangs, and I guess I was just expecting a little bit more than how, especially the way they were toying with her. It seemed very, like, I don't know, like, it was, it's so weird, because it's, like, it's clearly not, like, a PG-13 movie, but just, like, scenes like that, like, the fight, and then that scene just seemed very PG-13 to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking that, too, at points. It was definitely rated R, because, you know, they show a good amount of stuff, but at certain points I'm like, more could have been shown, and I don't know if that was like a director's choice to, you know, maybe they didn't want to just, I guess, overdo it, but I definitely felt like more could have been shown than what it was. I'm like, we're already rated R, so might as well just fully like go for it. And another point was going back to Maria, when she was talking about the little girl. So do they all just talk like English? Because why does she talk to them like so clearly? Like when she was like finished eating the body, she's like, I'm done playing with this now. But it's like the rest of them barely spoke English, or they spoke broken English. And I don't know if maybe it like I don't know if it reverts their brain or something, because I do remember when the character's name was John Reese, when he got changed when Eben was talking to him, like he was kind of like not speaking in like full sentences, like he was kind of like saying like one to three like words. So I don't know if like that, but you know, it wasn't obviously explained how it worked, but that was just an interesting thing that I noticed.
Well, let's talk about, do you guys want to talk about any particular kills?
I think the only one that I would mention is when they killed the one vampire with the little grinder thing, And it wasn't because I thought it was like good or anything. It was mainly just because it was one of those kills where, you know, you see an item or something early in the movie, and you already know that's going to come back into play somehow. And then once they got to that room, I was like, oh, they're about to kill that vampire with the fucking with the little grinder thing or whatever.
Maria, anything you want to, any kills you want to bring up?
No. I guess, let me think, Jesus. I guess the only real kill that really got to me was the one that I mentioned from the beginning, where she was being dragged into the house, which gave me so much hope for the movie, because that was really scary. Like, because she was alive, you know, and it was just dragging her into the house, and it was doing it so fast that I wonder if she even realized what was happening, and then him, you know, her husband, like, chasing her, and I don't know, that part to me was scary. Like, I think it's the only kill that really, like, because you hear her yelling and screaming, and you think for sure that they're gonna kill her now, and no, he just drags her into the house, and then, you know, till eventually they die. I guess also that mercy killing, when Eben had flashed the light towards the one like female vampire, and it got like half of her, and the guy was like telling her like, "What's broken? What did he say? What's broken? What's broken has to be broken." So she like nods, and he like covers her eyes, and then he like kills her. I don't know. I feel like that was also a very impactful scene, because, like, you know, he didn't want to do it, but she, you know, they both understood that she kind of, it was, well, like I said, it was a mercy killing, and I don't know, this movie just had a lot of potential. Honest, like,
I thought he was gonna kill her because he wasn't attracted to her anymore. I'm gonna be so real, like, I thought, like, maybe, like, he probably got her because she was the most attractive vampire, and what's that happened, he was just gonna kill her, but when he mercy killed her, I was like, okay, that's better.
Wow, she could have made it, but that is so mean.
Well, let's talk about the survivors as a whole. Like that final bunch that we got for the last like 30 or so minutes of the movie. We had Bo, we had Eben, his brother, we had the blonde girl whose name I keep forgetting. Stella. And then we had those other two women and that guy. Like, and even before, but the whole like surviving group, like, it became very clear that certain people weren't going to make it. It was... I don't know. Like, I knew the old man wasn't going to make it. I knew his son was going to die with him. That was just like... That was obvious. And then... Okay, I'm gonna just say it. I think the brother should have died. I think what would have made this movie more impactful for me, would have stood out more, if Eben had to choose between his brother and Stella. Like, one of them's gonna get turned, one of them's gonna get killed, and he has to choose which one to save. Like, and
he definitely would have chose Stella.
Yes, like, give me the same decision that fucking Joker gave Batman in Dark Knight. Who you gonna pick?
If that was the case, though, do you think he still would have had to turn into a vampire?
I feel like... Do you
think he still would have had to die at the end?
Yes. Or they could have done it where, okay, he chooses one over the other. The one he doesn't choose dies. He goes to actually be with the one he chose to survive, and it turns out that person was actually turned. So that person has the big showdown, but then in the end, they let Eben kill them, or Eben told them when the sun rises. I don't know. I just feel like the surviving group wasn't really giving me much, especially when only two or three of them were actually doing anything, and everyone else was just there hiding and running. But what about you, Maria? What do you think about the group of survivors?
I feel like only like a couple of the survivors really stood out, but then all of them died, and then you only get left with people that you don't really remember, you know?
Yeah.
I do agree that there was a lot of like subplots going on, like with the brothers, and then the romance that honestly we could have done without that, and it could have just been a pure survival movie, and it would have been great. Because I feel like the whole little romance thing they had going on, and it was just kind of like, I feel like it overshadowed the fact that like there are people outside like killing people, like, you know,
Kim, there's people dying.
Yeah, it was just so. And I really hate the little corny like lines that they had where she was like, I should have never left you, or something about kids she said in the middle of the movie, and it was just so weird. And it was even weirder because it's like, you know, part of the movie was the romance, but they never really tell you why they broke up, what happened. Like it was just very like heavily like implied, but they never really gave a reason. It's just implied that they're estranged, they're separated, but it's not like too bad that somebody cheated. It's just something weird, but they're still pretty cool. I don't know. I thought it was weird. I feel like you're being thrown around, but it's like, but there are like, you know, there are like people drinking people's blood outside. Like, I don't know. And then, yeah, then the whole brother plot. I honestly really would have liked to have seen, like, them turn the brother. I think when they first,
when they killed the grandma?
Yeah, and he was like, did they take my brother? And the guy just didn't say anything. I was like, oh my god, it'd be so crazy if they took him and they turned him, right? And then he has to deal with that, but they didn't. He was safe. He was over there safe. You know, and it was just kind of, I don't know, it just, I guess I was expecting more with that. And then not to mention, like, what Eben did for Stella, where he, like, turned himself. I don't know how this is going to sound. But now I don't want to say it to mom. it just feels a little bit excessive. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, either way, like, the town's going to blow up, you know? Like, it's still on fire. And then just for him to die at the end. Like, and that scene was just, it was weird. I don't know. I didn't like that scene either.
And I will say, continue.
No, because he let all the other vampires go too. Like, he could have at least gotten one or two or three of them at least. He totally could have.
No, that's what got me. That's actually one part that did get me. I'm like, so the rest of them are just good? Like, when he go ask Stella, like, should I go after the rest of them? And she's like, no. Like, bro, you go die anyway. You know you're about to die.
Yeah.
You might as well get your lick back.
I was so confused. I was like, why would you say no? They're just gonna go around and kill other people. Like now these group of vampires don't have a leader. Like, I'm pretty sure some of them are gonna go rogue and just go on a fucking killing spree. Like, no one's really stopping them. And I was like, but you're gonna say no? Like, what? I don't know. I was very confused by that. Like, he could have at least gotten one more with him, you know? He could have made him stay outside, you know, in the sun with him. But no, she was just like, no. And they had to have their own little moment in the fucking, like, sunset, which I mean, I guess, but I don't know. It was stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also would not have done what he did and turned for her. I feel like that was, I mean, okay, I do get it, you know, that he had to kill the leader because they were going to go around and kill more people. You know, I think, like, they were kind of going to move from town to town. But he didn't even do it at the end. Like, who's going to stop those, like, those other vampires? I don't know. That was just me, I guess.
Yeah, and with that, like, he was very sure of himself that he was going to turn. Now, yes, movie, so it worked out in his favor. But, like, what if he just died right there? Like, what if he didn't even survive that shit? Like, then what they was going to do? Like, in the moment, it did not seem smart.
No, because I think even, what was his name? His brother? He was even like, that's somebody else's blood. Like, I feel like scientifically, if scientifically vampires are real and he did that, like, I don't know. I don't think it would have worked out. Like, I feel like, you know, they were right. And plus, you don't know what this guy is carrying. Well, I guess it doesn't matter. He died either way. But true. Yeah, he was so sure it was going to work. And he was like, well, you know, they changed because they got bit. So I think I'll be okay. What did he say? He said something stupid. He was like, so then, you know, I'll inject his blood and I'll change too. And I can stay like sane for a little bit or whatever. And I was like, but what if you don't? Like, what if like injecting it like that directly makes you change so much faster? And then you kill these people. I don't know. He's lucky that this was definitely a movie, because I don't think it would have worked out like that.
Also, this is random, but the one girl who's a part of their group, not Stella, but the young girl. I'm thinking of whole different people. I'm actually thinking of Stella. I don't know why I thought Stella was Rachel McAdams for a minute. she kind of favored her, and then I was like, why is Regina George in this movie?
Same. It wasn't until I watched it the second time when I was like, okay, that's not her.
Like I knew it wasn't her, but also I was like, that that looked like her. that was random, but I had to throw that in.
Yeah, and for me, when it comes to the survivors, I've already said what I had to say. Like, I didn't enjoy the dynamics. I didn't enjoy Eben and the girlfriend. I didn't enjoy Eben and his brother. I felt like we could have used more of Bo. I felt like we could have used more of his partner, who was like kind of crazy. I feel like there's so much more that could have been fleshed out, and they zeroed in on these three characters for the most part. And I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it at all.
Well,
but that is just me. But what about the vampires themselves? So, what'd you guys think about them?
They were definitely inconsistent. Like, the vampires were very inconsistent. Like, at the beginning of the movie, we saw them, like, moving so fast, like, you couldn't see them. And then we get to the midpoint where, you know, we have characters that we need to worry about, and suddenly they're just, you know, running like we run. Like, why aren't they, like, they weren't keeping the same energy.
Yeah, the vampires were inconsistent from scene to scene. Because at one point they're jumping and they're strong. other points they're not, and I was just like, wait, so I was very unclear on how they die. Like, you gotta remove the head, is it a stake through the heart? Is it just like, is it them being burned? Like, is it the light? It was inconsistent and it was kind of ruining for me. And I don't know. It was, they weren't really scary. What about you, Maria? What are your thoughts on the vampires?
I agree. The whole inconsistency of like, so yeah, so they're super strong and super fast, but they can't. I mean, I guess maybe they were just toying with them. But even then, like, a lot of people were escaping. Like, you had these people hiding from you. And on top of that, and then also, I'm pretty sure none of them, like, spoke English. But, like, the people understood what they were saying. So I was like, then what was the whole point of giving the vampires their own language if, like, you're going to have them communicate anyways? I don't know. I thought it was weird. And then, like, the whole, I mean, I'm assuming they're probably, I guess they're trying to make them seem like they have, like, heightened senses, but, like, you can't hear, yeah, that them killing that little girl. You can't hear them arguing, you know? And then there was also the whole thing with, like, the smell. Because, like, Evan, you know, when he first turned, he was like, I can smell your blood. And it's like, okay, so then you want to tell me that they walked by that truck and they didn't smell Stella and that, like, little girl? Like, you know, they were just like, well, we're just going to burn the whole place down, I guess. You know what I mean? It just, I don't
party's
know.
Over.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too. It's like, so they can smell blood. But Stella was right there. They were right there. They couldn't smell Eben when they were scratching that lady. Like that, he was next to them. It's very inconsistent. Or were they giving us like Twilight powers where you have all these extreme powers for your first, when you're a quote unquote newborn?
I mean, I hope not. Because
I don't know. Maybe we'll get more in the second one.
Yeah.
I don't. Because I don't know. I just feel like everything was missing something. You know, the vampires were missing. The survivors were missing. Like, the concept is there. It's just like I wanted more. I needed more. And it just wasn't getting that, so I don't know. But enough of that. Tuan, can you give the people the behind-the-scenes info and facts?
Mark, yes, I can. So, 30 Days of Night had a budget of $30 million, and it brought in a box office of $75.5 million. And it had critics' reactions of a 51% on Rotten Tomatoes, along with Roger Ebert giving the film 2.5 stars out of a possible 4. He criticized several plot holes, such as vampires moving with supernatural speed in some attacks, but ponderous slowness in others.
Well, enough of that. Tuan, Maria, do we cash or pass 30 Days of Night? Maria?
I pass. I feel like aesthetically this movie was like really good, you know, at the whole 30 Days of Night, you know, so it's dark most of the time, the deserted town, even like the vampires, like they're not, you know, beautiful people. They literally look like the old school, well, kind of, right? But they're kind of like the old school vampires where they literally look like demons, I guess, you know, like their faces don't look normal, and I loved that. But like the weird subplots they were trying to have, and then like the PG-13 fights they were giving us just did not. I just feel like, yeah, like the writing and the directing, I guess, just didn't do the movie justice. So I will pass.
And for me, it's also a pass. for reasons I already say, like the vampires, they were inconsistent with the powers and the abilities, and at times they were scary, at times they were stupid, and I didn't really gel with their survivors. Like, only one I really liked was Bo, and other than that, I didn't really like anyone else. I felt like the other survivors could have used a little bit more story. I didn't like the love plot, the sibling plot, and also, I forgot to mention this, but you had this long goodbye with Stella, but your brother, and as far as we know, your only other fucking surviving relative, and you don't get this emotional goodbye with him? Like, you purposely infected yourself to save Stella, leaving your brother behind. There's no mention of your parents being alive, of other siblings, or anything. You just left your brother by himself.
Yeah, and I think
it's a pass.
They were trying to justify it when he was like, before he turned himself, and he was like, oh, what did he say? He was like, you've done good. Like, you've grown up and kind of like that. But it's like, this is a child that had to grow up, and you're just not going to be there for him. Like, okay.
Yep. It's a hardcore pass me. What about you, Tawan? Do you cash the pass?
Even though, you know, I had a lot to say about it, I don't know. Like, if I'm kind of in the middle because I do still like the movie, mainly because, like, Maria, like, the aesthetics and everything of it. And in that much of it, and like that, like, yeah, I don't know. I think ultimately I probably will pass, because I haven't thought about this movie since I've seen it originally, so it isn't one of those things that, like, I'm like ready to, like, always come back to. So I think I probably will just end up passing on it, because I don't see myself coming back to it anytime soon. And if we really didn't do this episode, I probably don't see myself when I would have watched this again. I do like the aesthetics of the movie. I like, you know, the overall, like, the initial, like, plot of it. It's interesting, like, a town cut off, and they have no way of, like, leaving, so they either gotta fight or just, you know, die. And some of the looks of the vampires look cool, but yeah, there were a lot of inconsistencies with, you know, certain plot elements, and also just the vampires themselves, you know, since we weren't really given a setup for how they worked. They were kind of just doing anything for plot convenience. And also, I thought it was kind of stupid when Eben injected himself with the blood to turn. It worked out in his favor, but that was still a stupid choice.
Well, and with that, we have concluded our review of 30 Days of Night. But join us next week as we review 30 Days of Night 2. There is a subtitle in there somewhere, but I kind of forgot it. It is,
I believe it's Dark Days.
I hope not, because that'd be stupid. Like, what? What?
It is Dark
Days. It's Dark Days, but it's already... Join us next week as we review 30 Days of Night's Dark Days. Good night.
If you like this episode, please be sure to check out Hide and Fear Horror's past reviews from big franchises like Halloween, Friday the 13th, and the Chucky franchise, or one-off reviews like Us and Midsommar. You can follow Hide and Fear Horrors on Instagram and TikTok, where the host posts updates and mini reviews. Full episodes are available on several podcasting platforms. If you're listening to us on YouTube, don't forget to please like and subscribe. Hide and Fear Horror is produced by Mark Smart, Maria Perez, and Tawan Griffin. Edited by Mark Smart. Theme by Lethal Injections. The Hide and Fear Horrors podcast is a Letters to Media production.
Should we do an intro?